Would you kneel with me in a word of prayer? My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we once again come to Thee, coming out of the world and to desire to hear Thy Word preached, Father, I ask that You would be with us here, that You'd touch the speaker of the hour and give him the message You caused to be brought to us today. Father, we're thankful for this beautiful day. We're thankful for this local. I'm thankful that we had the opportunity to witness the spiritual birth of a new brother. We're thankful, Lord, that You have made that plan and that path. Father, and we do continue to lift up Dane this time. Father, we do pray for the many who are sick and afflicted. Lord, as our sister Karen would come up to be administered to, I ask that You would grant unto her the blessing that she stands in need of. Father, we pray that the many who are pure in heart, wherever they might be, Lord, that are seeking to know the truth with full intent. And I pray, Lord, that You would lead and direct their path. I pray for our missionaries and the work of the gospel, knowing that it is Your work and You are in control. Father, I do humbly ask for Thy forgiveness for us as a people when we fail Thee, and I ask that You would continue to lead us, show us our iniquities and our inadequacies, and give us the strength to change and to repent and to do Thy will in all things. Father, I do once again ask that You bless this service with Thy Spirit. In the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We have an administration to take care of at this time. Karen, Andy, would you and Hubert, would you take care of that? We're going to continue this evening with number 315. Number 315. Would you again please stand? I would now ask that you would give our brother Ken your careful and your prayerful attention.
Thank you, Bob. I could use your prayers this evening. I'm reminded of one time, I believe it was Brother Bob, he made the statement that we have the Duanes and the Bryans and the Glens that have 14 pages of double-spaced sermons, you know, all typed out and ready to go. And Bob held up a little piece of paper with notes scribbled on it. Well, I kind of feel that way. I started out this morning with a couple neat pages, mostly definitions, if we get to them. But as our brother was preaching this morning, I scribbled some notes on the back of it and kind of transferred them to the front. And then as Brother Bill was doing the baptism service, I jotted down a couple more notes. Hopefully it all makes sense when it's all said and done. Brother Jerry asked a question this morning in this sermon. What is it to truly believe in something? What is it to, and I'm going to expand on that a little bit, what is it to truly believe in Jesus Christ? What is it to truly believe that there is something after this life? That we have a hope? Now, Brother Dane, as he entered into the waters of baptism, I don't know about everybody else, but every time someone gets baptized, my mind goes back to mine. My mind went back 29 years to the day of my baptism. And just as our new Brother Dane made a covenant today, he made a promise to serve God. 29 years ago, I made a promise to serve God, and every one of us, when we went into the waters of baptism, made a promise to serve God. Unfortunately, in 29 years, I failed. There's times in my life when I have failed to serve my God. Did those things that were displeasing to our Heavenly Master. Joel mentioned one of the scriptures that I may turn to later, but he talked about grieving the Spirit of God. Oh, how we grieve God's Spirit. How we grieve from time to time that Spirit of God that's been given to us, that's been placed within our hearts and within our minds, within our souls. How we grieve God's Spirit. This year, in my personal life, has been a somewhat trying year from time to time. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God has been in my life. He's taught me many things this year. Taught me many things. You know, as we go through life and we experience things, we have trials, we have tribulations, we have joys, we have happiness. I've learned one thing this year, and it's something I've always known, but God brought it home time after time after time. That when we have a trial, sometimes our first reaction is to say, why me? Why am I having this? Or I want to be doing this, and here I am doing something else. Or why is this happening to me? And as I look back over my life, I can see where every trial that I've had has been given by God to strengthen me. And I've learned this year to ask a simple question. When I have a trial, adversity in my life, I've learned more than ever to ask God a simple question. What do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to learn from this trial, from this tribulation, from this temptation? What do you want me to learn? There's something. There's always something in our life that God wants us to learn. As we enter into the final dispensation of time, I'm not even going to profess to even give a guess to how long we have. But you know, it doesn't matter. Tomorrow could be the day that I meet my Maker, or one of us could meet our Maker. You know, sometimes we sit and we say, well, the Lord's going to come in X number of years, and we kind of relax a little bit perhaps, or well, I got time to prepare. It could happen instantly, tomorrow. God is preparing us for that day. God is preparing us to meet Him at the throne of judgment. He's preparing us to serve Him. He's preparing us for what lies ahead. You know, judgment. The Lord says judgment begins at the house of God. He's going to sift His people. He's going to divide the righteous from the unrighteous. Only those that are strong, only those that are faithful will be able to serve in these last days. He says that the righteous scarcely be saved. Those that are as righteous as we can be, that serve God and keep His commandments, if we scarcely make it, He says, where are the ungodly and the sinner going to appear? He requires total humility. He requires total devotion and total separation from this world. I believe it was Brother Joel one time. I don't know if he said it in the sermon. I remember having a conversation with him about it. Don't ask me when it was or what we were doing. But he made the statement that we're sometimes lazy Christians. Amen to that. We are lazy Christians. You know, we come to church, we come here, and we come on Sunday morning, and we visit on Sunday afternoon, and we come back Sunday evening. Most of us come back on Wednesday. Are we done for the week? Are we done? One of my brothers out in the field one time, we were talking about service, and he said, you know, Brother Ken, it's not what we do that's wrong. You know, we live pretty good lives. It's not things that we do. It's the things that we don't do is our downfall. And I thought about that, you know. It's the things that we don't do. The things that we waste our time with, perhaps. The things that we could be doing with the time that we waste. We don't go visit that brother or sister who perhaps stands in need. We don't go visit that brother and sister who may be searching for the truth and this close to asking to be baptized. And oh, I'll go next week. I got other things to do today. Oh, how we grieve the Spirit of God. Got to bring my mason jar. I had another mason jar, and I was going to bring it tonight. And for those of you who weren't here, I used a mason jar in a demonstration one day, and I broke it into a million pieces on the floor. But you know, I was going to use that as an example. I wasn't going to break it again. But you know, there's consequences to our action. breaking a mason jar was really a simple consequence, you know. Had to clean up the mess and didn't have my mason jar. But there's consequences to what we do in life. Could be as simple, something that's repairable, something that we can undo. You know, I broke the mason jar. I didn't plan to. It wasn't deliberate. It was an unconscious thing. How many times do we do those things in life? We don't even think about it. We do things without thinking. We do things without thinking and suffer the consequences. Brother Joel made a statement at the confirmation service. Do we always strive to please the Lord? Do we always strive to please the Lord? Or sometimes do we strive to please ourselves? To please what's inside those, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, the things that we want, the things that we want to do? Or do we strive always to please the Lord? And when we, you know, if you stop and think about that simple statement, striving to please the Lord, what's that mean? That means that I put aside everything else. I put aside personal desires and personal ambitions and goals that I may have and take it to the Lord. The Lord may have the same goal that I have. My desire may be kind of on the same page with the Lord. But until I go to the Lord in complete humility, in complete submissiveness, with no thought of self. And that's maybe the key to our service to God, is self has to be taken out. It's not what I can do for the Lord for my own benefit. It's, Lord, what can I do for you? Bring glory and honor and praise to your name. To help spread this gospel. To help strengthen my brothers and my sisters. Self must be completely taken out. Lord, what do you want me to do? Simple question. Lord, what do you want me to do? Help me to discern between my own emotions and my own thoughts and my own feelings. Help me discern the leading of thy Spirit. What do you want me to do? I'm convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that if we go to the Lord with that attitude, totally, completely submissive, completely humble, with only that desire to seek the Lord's will, that He will lead us. And that whatever situation we are in, it's the Lord's will. Where the Lord wants us to be at this moment. Probably should turn to a couple of scriptures. Colossians chapter 3. If I can find it. There. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to begin at the first verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and were we not at our day and the hour, the moment of baptism, were we not risen with Christ? Did we not crucify the old man? Did we not bury that old creature and come up a new person? We were risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. We no longer to seek the things of this world, no longer to seek after the lust of the flesh, our own desires, our own ambitions. We're to search for, seek. To search for those things that are above. What does God want me to do? What does He require me to do? What yet, Lord, do You want me to learn? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Our affections, our love, our devotion, our desires, the things that fill our hearts and our minds, the thoughts that we have are to be above. Not on the things of the world. Not on these things that are going to pass away. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are dead to the world. We are dead to our sins. Our old man has been crucified, has been cast away. It lays in that ground. We put on Christ. We put on that spiritual person. We're alive. We're alive in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That's the promise of the Scriptures. That's our hope. When the Lord returns, that we will appear with Him. If we've gone to our reward, we will return with Him. If we're still here, we will be raised in glory. Paul says that we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That this mortal body will put on immortality. And this corruptible body, this body that will that yields to sin, that is full of the lust of the flesh, will be changed to incorruption. To live forever. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Kill them. Kill them. Mortify them. Kill them. Kill those things that lie within us that will destroy our souls. Kill them. Not just set them aside, not just resist, but kill them. You know, we're all tempted. We're up and down every aisle here, and every one of us has a temptation. Something that troubles us, perhaps. Something that may bother you that doesn't bother me, and vice versa. But you know, it doesn't matter what the temptation is. It doesn't matter what our weakness is. The same process applies to overcoming. The same process. It does not matter. You resist. You make a plan. You know, you just don't walk away from sin sometimes. Sometimes you have to have a plan. If something bothers us, I'm going to do something else at that time. I'm going to drive a different way. I'm going to do something different. I have a plan. I'm going to make a plan to overcome this weakness in my life, this temptation. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to kill that temptation. And I believe the Scriptures verify the fact that we can overcome it, and it doesn't have to trouble us all our lives. 35 years ago, I was probably close to being an alcoholic. You know, the last 2 years that I spent in the world, I can't remember a day that I didn't drink. Can't remember a day. Today, I have no temptation. There's no, absolutely no temptation to drink. It's gone. It's taken away. It's not a temptation anymore. We can be free of that. Be free. Kill the lust of the flesh. Kill those desires that lie within us. We can do it. We can do it. Oh, it doesn't mean that we're never going to be tempted. A couple of scriptures I'm going to read of Paul's writing where he understood the concept of temptation. But we don't always have to be bondage to the same temptation. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. Uncleanness, moral impurity. Kill it, kill it. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness. For which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Those lusts of the flesh, those things of the flesh, is why God is going to destroy this world. Because of sin. Never destroyed a people because they were righteous. He destroyed them because they were sinners. He's going to destroy this world because of sin. He destroyed the world and saved Moses, Noah, because of sin. Noah was the most righteous, him and his family. This world will be destroyed because of sin. You know, God has no respect of persons. Just because I'm a member of the Church of Christ, just because I've taken upon me the name of Christ, just because I stand in the congregation, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that I'm going to make it. No respecter of persons with God. If my heart is not right before God, I will answer for that. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. When we walked in the flesh, we walked in these things. This moral impurity. All these things of the world. We walked in them. We partook of them. We brushed shoulders with them. You know, Paul said, not only those that do these things, but those of us who may have pleasure in them are as guilty as they are. We're as guilty as those that actually do it. If we take pleasure in it, if we watch it, if we take that pleasure. You know, one of these days, the whole nation will support same-sex unions. It will. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. But we have to be a voice against it. I'm not saying we stand on the street corner, but the Church of Christ has to be a voice against it. We cannot accept it. We cannot accept it. We cannot accept those things. We cannot take pleasure in those things. Cannot. But now you also put off all these things. We put them off. We put off anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We put them off. We put them aside. They're no more a part of our lives. Why not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds? Paul repeats and repeats. Put it off. Put it away. Mortify. Put it away. Depart. You know, Joseph of old, when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, what did he do? Did he try to reason with her? Did he stick around and resist the temptation? Did he wait for the husband to come home and tell him? No. He ran. He fled. He got out of there. And I'll guarantee you, if we don't do the same thing with these things in the world, the sins that are out there and the lusts of the flesh, if we don't do the same thing, if we don't run, we'll get sucked right in. We'll get pulled right in. We put off the old man. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We put on a new person. Dane, today put on a new person. That young man that he was at 5 o'clock this afternoon is no more. He's a new man. Put on a new man. Put away the things of the flesh. Put them away. Now we're renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created us. That's the knowledge that we seek. That's the image that we put on, the image of Christ. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Well, if I was in Galatians, it would probably help. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived. Don't go astray or out of the way. Be not deceived. And you know that word, that Greek word, it really meant, it says it's a sense of deceiving ourselves. Don't deceive yourself. Don't go after your own righteousness. Don't go after your own thoughts and desires. Don't deceive yourself. Be not deceived. The Scriptures are plain. God's Word is plain. Be not deceived. Don't go after strange doctrine. Don't go after the thoughts and the desires of our hearts that are not of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever we sow in this life, we are going to reap the reward of it, or the condemnation. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's our choice. That's our choice. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are the household of faith. To do good for one another, to uplift each other, to support each other. And that means that we don't tear people down. That means that we don't talk about people. That means that we don't ridicule them. That means that we uplift them. The things that we say to and about each other should only uplift. Should never be spoken to tear somebody down. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. We ask for our own benefit, our own desires. We ask because it's what we want. It's what I want. Instead of what, Lord, what do you want for my life? What do you want me to do? What do I need to do? What's required of me? What yet must I do to gain eternal life? James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Are we not adulterers and adulteresses when we partake of the things of the world? Are we not committing spiritual adultery? Are we not forsaking? No, Brother Joel likened our brother Dane to a marriage covenant. He's married to God. We're married to God. And when we go and partake of the things of the world, we're spiritually committing adultery. We're going against God's laws. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If we're going to be friends with the world, if we're going to partake of the things of the world, we are enemies of God. Enemies of God. We're fighting against God. We're not striving to uplift the kingdom of God. We're tearing it down. Friendship with the world. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? That natural man is an enemy to God. 2 hours ago, Dane was an enemy to God. Today, he's not. At this hour, right now, he is not an enemy to God. Been born again. Humbled himself and taken upon him the name of Christ and became as a child. Became as a little child. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. If we're too proud to completely humble ourselves before God, if we're too proud to come to God and say, what yet must I do to gain salvation? God will resist us. We must come in complete humility, willing to do whatever God requires of us to do. We may not like it. It may be something that I don't want to do. It may be difficult. But I have to do it. Sometimes we do what's right just because it's right. It's our duty. It's our duty to do what is right. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Promise of the Scripture. If we resist the devil, if we flee, if we make a plan to overcome our temptation, if we make a plan to keep Satan at bay, he will flee. He will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You could preach several sermons about how we can draw closer to God. Search it out. How do we draw closer to God? One of the ways is that we resist Satan. We stay away. We turn our back on this world. We turn our back on the lust of the flesh and on the things that would cause us to stumble. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-minded, divided allegiance. Are we serving God? Or are we serving the world? Can't serve them both. We can't be double-minded. We can't have double allegiance. We either fulfill our covenant or fulfill that which we promised to God and serve Him, or we serve the world. Can't have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Isn't that what God said? What's the sacrifice He wants from us? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what James is saying. Different words, but that's what he's saying. If there's sin in our life, we need to be brokenhearted. We need to come to God willing to repent. He will lift us up. He will lift us up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That broken heart and that contrite spirit, if there's something in our lives that needs to be changed, let's do it. Let's change it. Romans chapter 7. Paul understood this battle that goes on. We can't snap our fingers and the war is over. We can't snap our fingers and our trials have ceased. It's going to be a lifelong struggle. The Lord said, he that endures to the end. If we're going to endure, we're going to have troubles, we're going to have trials, we're going to have afflictions, we're going to have temptation. Paul understood that in Romans in the 7th chapter in the 14th verse. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The natural man is a carnal creature. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. He doesn't want to do it, but yet he finds himself doing it. He hates it, but he finds himself doing it. The things that he wants to do, to resist the world and to draw close to God, he has trouble. He has trouble. Isn't that the struggle that we have? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. Now let's go on. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. His mind and his soul, he wants to do what's right, but because of the flesh. Because of the flesh, because of this world, we have a struggle. We have a struggle. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Our ancient brother Nephi had the same lament. he went to God and he says, you've done all these things. I've seen visions. You've carried me in the Spirit. I've witnessed all these things, and yet here I am in sin. We're unprofitable servants. Nephi was a non-profitable servant. Paul was a non-profitable servant. When you look at God's righteousness and His glory and what He expects of us, we all fall short. We all fall short. I find then a law. Paul says he found a law that when I would do good, evil is present. Someone preached a sermon about that not too long ago. When you want to do good, there's evil. It's always going to be. When we want to do something good, you can expect Satan to be sitting right there trying to dissuade us, trying to stop us. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Don't we? Don't we delight in the law of God? We want to do what's right. We want to be that spiritual person. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He recognizes what he's a wretched man. Perhaps true humility, recognizing that we are totally worthless. Now, what King Benjamin said, we're less than the dust of the ground. Totally worthless. O wretched man, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. How do we overcome? What's our only hope? Jesus Christ. No other name or no other way given under heaven that we can gain salvation except through Christ. We can't be righteous enough. We cannot do it. We have to overcome. We have to endure. Go to Galatians chapter 1. I think I'll read this one. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Christ is going to deliver us from this world. He's going to pluck us out. He's going to rescue us. That word signifies to rescue, to deliver by rescuing from danger. God rescued us from the danger of this world. He plucked us out of the world. And that Greek word, I wrote it down. It says, having a special interest in the result. God has a special interest in us. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But so we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Going back to, let's not be deceived. Let us not be deceived. We have the gospel of Christ. We have it. All we have to do is follow it. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who do we seek to please? Do we seek to please our neighbor, those people of the world? Or do we seek to please God? That's who we seek to please. In the fifth chapter of Galatians. And Paul had gone through a whole list of things that we can do that won't get us into heaven. And I'm not going to go to that. But when we forsake the world, when we turn our back on the world, and when we turn to Christ with a full purpose of heart, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to bear some fruit in our lives. 22nd verse of the 5th chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we're Christ, we have crucified, we have put away, we've buried those things of the world. Our thoughts are not there. Our desires are not there. We're not lazy Christians. We're watchful. You know, the Lord said in the 21st chapter of Luke, I believe it's the 36th verse, He says, watch and pray. Watch and pray always that ye be counted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. We're watchful. We're not late. We can't. If you're on duty, if you're on guard duty and you're watching for danger and you're watching to protect your soul and to protect the souls of your family and your friends and your neighbors, you can't be lazy. You can't be slothful. You can't be out there sleeping. Watching means to be alert. Alert to the dangers of this life. Watch for the attack of Satan. Watch him throw you that curveball. We cannot be lazy. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Taking upon us the name of Christ. Put upon us Christ. Crucified the flesh. Buried that old man. Put on a new creature. We're not that man. We're not that woman that's of the flesh. We're new. We're new in the Lord. And He says, if we live in the Spirit, which we do, we've taken upon us the name of Christ, we should be living in the Spirit. We're not in this world. Oh, we have to work. We have to buy groceries. We have to do things. But it's not our world. It's not our world. But if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. In the Spirit. Do the things that the Spirit directs us to. Be diligent. Be faithful. Be zealous. Zealous of good works. Zealous of serving God. Second Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 5th verse. Second Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves. Look at yourself. Take a look in that spiritual mirror. We should take an inventory. We need to take an inventory every once in a while. Whether it's just mental or sometimes maybe we just write it down. You know, write down those things that trouble us, those things that we need to get rid of in our life, those things that we've accomplished, those things that we've done well, those things that we've overcome. Take a look in our lives. Examine yourselves. Where are you today? Where are you spiritually? Let's not think. Let's not think that tomorrow I can prepare to meet God. Let's prepare today. Let's be ready today. Let's be ready at 8:30 tonight or 9:30 or 10:30, midnight. Let's be ready. He may come. Or we may go and meet Him. But examine yourselves. Paul says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. We have to take a good, honest look at our lives, don't we? Are we faithful? Are we serving? Are we that zealous Christian? Prove your own selves. Prove ourselves. Test ourselves. Are we Christians? Are we worthy? Are we zealous? Have we forsaken the world? Are we still doing the things? Are we still have the lusts of the flesh and desires of this world? Or is our mind set on Christ? Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except you be reprobates. The only way we don't, if we're totally worthless, it's the only way that we don't know. But know, don't we know? Can't we look at ourselves and know that Jesus Christ is in us? We have that witness, that spirit that our brother received this night as our witness that God and Christ are in us. Let's not be in spiritual bondage to the world. Let's be free of the world. Let's be free to serve Christ. Serve Him with our whole heart, with our whole mind. Let's not be lazy Christians. Let's be diligent. Let's overcome. Let's overcome this world. Let's overcome our weaknesses. Let's overcome those things that would keep us separated from God. Let's grow closer. Go closer not only to God, but perhaps even to each other. Let's strive. Let's strive to fulfill our covenant. Let's help each other. Let's help Dane fulfill his covenant. Let's help Mark fulfill his covenant. Hubert and Joel and the rest of us. Let's help each other fulfill the covenant that we made to lift each other up, to encourage each other, to be strong, to be faithful. May God bless us. And may when the Lord appears, may we be found faithful, may we be found pure, righteous, and full of faith. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ken. We're going to close this evening with number 122. And while you're looking that up, I'm going to go over the announcements. Tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock is our open forum in the dining hall. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we have a prayer service. Saturday, the 18th at 8:45 a.m., the young people's have their bike-a-thon. Remember to meet at Coyote Basin Park at 8:45 and bring your pledge sheet, a bike, and a sack lunch. And Jim and Kim should be back sometime this week, and you can ask them if you have any questions. Next Sunday at 9:45 is Sunday school. 11 o'clock is a preaching service, and I'll be your speaker. 3:30 is the women's choir. 4:30 is men's choir. 5:30 is song service. And 6 o'clock, we're going to have a preaching service with our brother Dwayne Ely. Pamela Whitehead has asked that we remember her in our prayers tonight and tomorrow morning as well. She has a doctor's appointment and for ultrasound, that kind of stuff. She's got some health issues that she is asking the Lord to bless. So we need to be mindful of that as well as the needs of our of Karen and her that she was administered to for. Are there any others that you... Announcements? If not, number 122. Shall we stand? Would you bow with me in prayer? My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have had the opportunity today to come to Thee throughout the day from time to time, Lord, fellowshipping, hearing Thy Word preached, witnessing the covenant of a young brother, we're truly thankful, Lord, for this day we have, a Sabbath rest to rest from our daily life and to come out of the world for a short time, to renew our spirits, Lord, to renew our desires and our covenant to Thee. Father, I ask that as we would go our separate ways this evening, that Your watch care and Your protection would be upon us as we would travel. And Father, as we would enter back into that world of work and school that is an enemy to our souls, I pray, Father, that You would strengthen us, that we would be kept in the right path. Lord, that we would listen to that still small voice within us to guide and direct us through our daily life. Help us, Lord, to be righteous examples for those around about us, to point others to Thee. Father, as we would go, we are mindful of the many who stand in need of our prayers. We continue to lift up Karen and also Pamela, Lord, as she would go to the doctor tomorrow. Lord, that You would grant her a mighty blessing, that You would touch the minds of the physicians to give them uncommon wisdom and discernment. Father, I do pray that You would bless those who are scattered and isolated. Continue to ask that You bless our loved ones in foreign lands and our missionaries, Lord, that the work would be done according to Your will and purpose. Father, I do ask these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.